chapter 15. I find it interesting when we're reading the Bible and some of the things I try to convey the message that's written from the book. I'm convinced that our nation is in dire trouble, our churches, our families, all those things are in dire trouble. And I believe that if I ask you, the need of the saint today is revival. Every saint would say, Lord, I really need to be revived. All that's going on, Lord, the work is difficult. I've been laboring diligently, Lord, and I just need you to revive me. I need you to give me some help. And so this evening, I want to talk about some things, some evidences of revival. That's what I want to talk about this evening. I'm convinced that I can know that it's real, because there ought to be some evidences in my life that God has actually brought about. Now, I know it is not going to be my doing. God's going to grant, no doubt about it. But I believe there's some evidence that ought to be in individuals' lives that will let us know, and we surely need it, because I believe, Lord, to revive me, every morning I wake up and there's a scripture that says, revive me, Lord. There's a scripture that says, revive us. There's a scripture that says, revive thy work. So I say, Lord, you know what? I want you to revive me. Yeah. Want you to revive us.
Amen.
Want you to revive your work. Because I realize that, Lord, if you don't revive me, Lord, I really can't be a help to others. I can't effectively communicate Christ like I want to. And Lord, I'll just be going through the motions. And Lord, after a while, I get tired of just going through the motions. I really would like to be able to do it, because, Lord, it pleases you.
Right.
It really is a blessing unto you. Judges chapter 15. Starting at verse 15, we read, and he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps with the jawbone of an ass, have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, then he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and called that place Ramah-Lehi. Verse 18, and he was sure a servant, and called on the Lord, and said, thou hast given this great deliverance in the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for service and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. Now, I'm amazed that when we're in a battle, and God may grant a great victory, it's amazing the letdown that can come after a great victory. Verse 19, when God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout, and when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Now, I'm using this text to deal with the issue, because, Lord, when I'm physically drained, Lord, when I've been out here serving you faithfully, Lord, when I've been going with you, I find it, Lord, sometimes, Lord, I don't have any energy to go on, and I need to be revived. I need you to give me enough strength to continue to battle. Lord, I need you to give me the kind of life, the strength to renew my vigor in order for me to faithfully continue the work that you've given me to do. So he revives his servant. And Samson is one of his servants, no doubt about it.
Right.
And it's amazing the reality of how God works in our lives and enables us to be able to revive. And he's a judge for 20 years. See, God is going to use, and God does, and he pleases. We believe he's sovereign.
Right. Amen.
We wait for things that don't go like we want them, then we wonder how sovereign he is. Because if you don't do it my way,
right,
he ain't as sovereign as I thought he would.
Right.
Because there's some evidence of revival that we need to see, and I'm going to look through some things, and we're going to see. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you'll help us. I'm convinced that, Lord, in this day and age that we're in, the saints need to be revived. And, Lord, I know there are many lost folks out there, and, Lord, I know that, Lord, salvation is of the Lord. I'm thankful, Lord, that you give us an opportunity to go preach your word to the lost. So I'm thankful that you preached it to me, and, Lord, you drew me by the cord of your love. What a blessing it is to know, Lord, you're still saving folks. You're still reviving folks. Lord, you're still building your church. Lord, I pray this evening that, Lord, you take your servant, these clay lips, this body that you purchased with your son's blood, and use it for your glory and honor. Lord, you give us the help that we need. And, Lord, we'll be like the Marine. We'll come with a ready mind. Lord, we'll search the scriptures and see if those things are so. And you'll give us the help that we need, because our hearts are tender toward thee. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
It's amazing the concept when you read the Word of God and you start realizing the things that are very vital. Revival is actually not in this. That word revival is not found in the Bible. Revived is in the Bible. Reviving. You'll find these verses in the Bible. So maybe the word revive is found in seven verses. Revived, i.e.d., six times, and reviving in two verses of the Bible. But revival, being revived, means, Lord, you're taking me from a state where, Lord, I don't feel as adequate, Lord. I don't feel as strong, Lord. I lost some of my vigor. In reality, Lord, you're renewing my strength.
Right, you're reviving, Lord.
For the task ahead. Well, what did Elijah need? He needed you to revive him. Lord, that's a great victory. It's amazing how I can have a letdown just by somebody speaking that they're going to take my life.
Right.
And it's amazing that you need a revival, so you will settle him under a juniper tree. But the reality is that what you need, Elijah,
you need to be revived.
Yeah.
Amen. The folks said, well, I work every day and I'm working several hours. And Lord, I got to come to church and I got to give. I got to do all these things and I got to fight the world, the devil, and the flesh.
Right.
Every day.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I need revival. To come along and give me strength. So here's some things. I'm going to give you a few things that I believe are evidence of revival. It's amazing. I talked about Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 18. The first thing I believe when you'll know is the freshness of life. See, you'll know it because your vigor will be refreshed and nobody will be able to take it away from you. Nobody will come along and all of a sudden you won't be here. God will give you a freshness of life when you're alive. 1 Kings chapter 18. It's amazing when we read the scriptures. I mentioned Elijah because I'm convinced that, or 1 Kings chapter 19, I'm convinced that when you go through things in life and you need help, that God has to come along and he has to do something because I may be like a lot of you folks that I may want to quit tomorrow.
Right. Yeah.
I may have quit last year or a couple of years ago.
Right.
And folks said I would never quit. Well, you probably look different than most human beings on this earth because the task sometimes are overwhelming, the burden is more than we can carry.
Sure,
from time to time, we mentally, we may not physically quit, but we mentally quit. Now, some people physically, they quit. They literally quit. They actually quit.
Right.
Now, mentally, all of us quit. I ain't never had that kind of mental problem.
Yeah.
Mentally, I do a whole lot of things in my man. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd probably carry those things out.
Right.
Help me understand. I tell folks, do not yourself and think that your man will not lead you astray. I said, Lord, my conscience is not my guide, the word of God is. Let your conscience be your gas. You'll get yourself in a whole lot of trouble. Your conscience will lead you to the left or the right. It may keep you off course. A lot of folks that see their conscience as defiled. I do not trust my conscience. I trust the word of God. It gives me direction for life. So in 1 Kings chapter 19, it's amazing what God has to say and how God operates and how God brings us back where we need to be in order for us to effectively continue to do the work. Verse 1 says that Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Now, you would think that a man like Elijah, why would you worry about somebody like Jezebel? And if you've ever been threatened, you probably would concern yourself whether those threats are real or not.
Right.
Verse 2, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so that the God's doing to me, and for also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Bathsheba that belonged to Judah and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down on the juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's. You know, one of the things I've learned in the midst of knowing that, Lord, I need revival, I find myself in self-pity. Wallowing in my own self-pity.
Right.
I know I need revival, but sometimes I find myself saying, Lord, it's not fair. Nobody else is serving you. Lord, I don't know why I have to be the only one that's doing anything. And Lord, every time I do something right, it seems like, help come, Lord. I find myself in trouble every time I try to do what you tell me to do.
Right.
Lord, what about everybody else? Why am I always in trouble? Why is it always attacking me, Lord? I want to know, Lord, what you think. I'll find myself on your tree, wanting to quit, Lord, realizing, Lord, it ain't working.
Right.
And I said to myself, then I go to Calvary, then I go to Isaiah 53, and I remind myself that it's a privilege and an honor, it's by the grace of God, that I'm able to do anything for God, and Lord, all my self-pity don't compare to the cross of Calvary.
Right.
Lord, I can't believe it. You bruised your son for my iniquity. Lord, you laid the chastisement of him on me, on
on your father, you killed your son. And I said, oh, well, why am I complaining?
Right.
Yeah.
What do I have to complain about, Lord?
That's right.
Maybe why I can complain because my children ain't what I want to be, or maybe my wife ain't what she want to be. The people in the church, but I can complain about a whole lot of things, but Lord, I can't complain about Jesus.
Amen.
Complain about Him.
That's right.
So, Lord, I realize that, Lord, I need a freshness of life, and what's going to happen is verse 5 of 1 Kings 19, and as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. So one of the things I found out is that, Lord, I can find myself depressed and discouraged, not wanting to eat, not wanting to do anything. Any of y'all ever been there before? Just wallowing in myself pity. Because, Lord, I'm just tired. I got fed up, Lord, and I just don't feel like doing anything anymore.
Yes,
and God comes along and touches us.
Yes, yes.
What an amazing God.
Yes,
Lord.
Yes,
I thought you just leave me in my self pity. I'm not leaving you there. You belong to me.
Yeah.
The reason that we're folks that don't get help, it ain't God's fault.
That's right.
I'm not convinced. I said, y'all come along with where you live.
Right,
we believe he's God of all comfort. He can do all things. I believe he can't belong.
Yes.
Like my servant.
He deserves
a shout out. He's downtrodden, he needs help.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Verse 6 of 1 Kings 19 says, he looked and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a pool of water in his head. He did eat and drink and lay down again. Because it's amazing that you may not still be ready. One thing about God. Verse 7, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and took him. I said, Lord, what an amazing thing. Go see, there's a journey ahead, and it's not over yet, Elijah. I know how you feel. If anybody is acquainted with my grief or my infirmities, I know you do, Lord. I read Hebrews 4. I know you know about me. You touched with my infirmities. You know all about what's going on.
Yeah.
I know God does.
Right.
Nobody else knows.
Sure.
Nobody else understands. I know he does. And he comes along and touches me and says, arise and eat, because the journey is too great. For then he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights in the horror, the mouth of God. What an amazing God we have when we need help. That we need to come. Freshness of life. You know what you need, Elijah? You need some freshness in your life. Let me come along and give you the nourishment that you need. Because you got a journey ahead.
Right.
And I want you to know, Elijah, that I am concerned. And know later on in the chapter, Elijah, you're still complaining, you're murmuring. And the reality is that, wait a minute now, you're not the only one that's serving me. There's still 7,000. It's always encouraging to know the different folks that still, every morning I rise up and I say, I pray for the remnant. Those who strengthen your remnant. But there's still a remnant in this nation.
Amen.
For men that God has earlier in this nation.
Yes,
and I pray for them. I said, Lord, I know the orphans out there anymore. They're remaining faithful. They don't realize they got a battle ahead of them every day. Not every other day, folks. They got a battle every day, and they need God to remind them. Romans 14:9 says, for this end, Christ both died and arose and revived, that he might be both Lord of the dead and the living.
Yeah.
And we're all so thankful. I appreciate Lord, I appreciate what you're doing, and I've been praying, that Lord, that you would help me be an instrument that strengthens that would remain. We're in the day and age that which remains needs to be strengthened. That's the point,
isn't
it?
Right.
Lord,
amen.
We're just in that day and age.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Lord, can you help me along here? I want to give you some strength. I want you to be able to function. I want you to be able to do the things that you need. That's some service. I don't want you to die on the battlefield without knowing that I was there helping you along the way.
Amen.
Well, I'm down on this battlefield.
Amen.
Lord, I hope I'm down on this battlefield because I've been doing what you told me to do. Lord, I've been faithful to the things you called me to be faithful to. Because, Lord, sometimes I don't feel like coming to church and you have to help me realize the importance of assembling the saints, Lord.
Yes.
I told my folks, I said, some folks can come to the meeting, some folks ain't been in church, and I tell Brother Griffin all the time, I said, it's amazing that we don't think it's a sin not to come to church. I said, it's sinful.
Yes,
sinful.
Yes,
sinful. Ain't no Bible excuse for not assembling together. There's no
exactly right.
Tithing offering. I say it's amazing. He said to me, I said, man, you're revived. I think you need to be saved.
Yeah.
You're revived. Amen. Couple, I just believe you need to be saved. I'm not convinced. Even Lord, down and out, Lord, I still will come to church, even though I may not feel like it. Lord, I still go knocking on doors, Lord, even when I don't feel like it. Lord, it's time that I don't feel like it. Lord, I'm being saved, Lord.
Yeah.
Still do what God told me to do.
Amen.
Yes. They still alive. They still will do. Lord, you're not going to convince me. You ain't got to call me and say, are you going to be in church? You ain't going to give a tithe and offering this week. You ain't going to call me to tell me that.
Right.
That was settled when I got saved.
Yes, man. Yes, man.
So we got to instruct folks to do right. How long do I have to instruct you to do what God tells you to do?
Right.
Until you do what God tells you to do, you are in rebellion against the Holy
Spirit. That's exactly right.
Well, they're amazing. Well, you know, he gets a young saint. He don't know no better. I said, until he know better, he's standing against God. I tell young saints, I say, when I tell you the Bible requires certain things and you don't do it, you're sitting against God when you start doing it.
Right.
Okay, here you are.
Just that thing. Well, wait a minute, now hold it. I understand that, but the reality is that even though I just got saved, I'm responsible to obey the book.
That's right.
I obey the gospel from that point on, and I'm to be obedient to the book.
That's right.
Right. People made me the reason I feel serious in my church on stewardship. My first captain last year, Brother said, I want you to teach. I said, that's a black folks. I want to save money, I'm going to do with money. I thought, you know what? Across America, this nation is so covetous.
Yeah.
It ain't the high gas prices and stuff like that. You just touched some of my idols. You know, I can't back any idols anymore. I can't have the things I want. I'm like, wait a minute, now hold it, Lord. Can you help me? And I'm like, I'm passing through this world in the first place. If you come back today, Lord, I know you ain't finished. But nevertheless, Lord, I found that I'm covetous, I'm grasping, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I thought I was supposed to be a good steward of all your instructions into my kids. That's the gospel. So help me understand. So I did a series. I said, man, if I understand that God purchased me, He owns me, and I really don't own anything, and a steward don't own nothing, a steward is own, he's just a manager, maybe I can get some help if I understand that I'm managing what God has been trusting in my life.
Amen.
But I don't own nothing. Nothing. I don't own anything.
Right.
Well, saying it is, but I think I own stuff. And God owns everything.
Sure it is.
Amen. And you said, well, you own them, you probably take it to heaven with you when you die. Prove that you don't own nothing. You ain't even taking his body to heaven with you.
That's
it's
right.
Just
amen.
You're talking new bodies, aren't we? Maybe. Amen. You start finding out some things. So Lord, I said, maybe you will renew some things. Maybe you will help me be steadfast in the apostle doctrine and fellowship and the break. I think the early church was right on chart, folks, doing what God told them to do. It's amazing that God can scatter some folks when they stop doing what God told them, God stopped doing them. So Lord, a freshness of life. It's the first thing I realized. But you know what I found out, Lord? If I look at the scriptures, you also give a fullness of joy.
Oh yeah.
So I'm convinced the evidence of revival is the freshness of life, but also believe it's the fullness of joy.
Amen.
I'm convinced the Lord that the fullness of joy. Psalm 85:6, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in me. I'm convinced the Lord has fullness of joy.
Amen.
Will you revive me?
Man.
Wilt thou not revive us?
Right.
That thy people may rejoice in thee. Rejoice in who? You thought it was your neighbor. So the car you had, the house that you had, the job that you got. No. The Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes,
Lord.
Amen.
Well, not revive us. Lord, we need that. I believe, Lord, there's a fullness of joy. Lord, I'm convinced that you want me to have a fullness of joy. I'm like, I'm watching God's people, and they mad, sad, they just ain't happy anymore. Lord, I know that I'm all not be. But I know if you revive me, I'll be able to rejoice in thee.
Yeah, man.
Well, I'll be able to rejoice. I'll be able to sing songs if you lock me in jail like that. I'm convinced. If they was a man, they was in jail.
Right.
I think they would be able to rejoice in the Lord. I'll probably be like a disciple. They counted the joy and the suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 5. I'm like, Lord, how could you rejoice in suffering? Because the joy is in the Lord.
Amen.
The joy of the Lord, Nehemiah says, our strength, the reality, and so, and you know, if it depends on the circumstances that produce joy, then you'll never have it, folks. You'll never have it. Circumstances change all the time. They change too often. Well, too many things happen. One moment you get money, next moment you don't. One moment you can pay your bill, next moment you're trying to figure out if you can.
Right.
You know, like, well, why am I trying to figure these things out? So I'll be sad and discouraged all the time. If it depends on circumstances.
Amen.
But if it's centered in the Lord Jesus Christ,
right,
that's truly the fullness of my joy. 1 Peter 1. Lord, I want freshness of life. Would you come along and trust me like you did Elijah? 1 Peter 1:8 says, whom having not seen you will love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice. With joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Good.
See, it's all centered in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, yes.
It's all centered. I'm convinced the Lord is the evidence of revival, Lord. You're giving me a person of life. You came along and touched me, Lord. I didn't feel like going on. I want to feel, Lord, to find out, Lord. I see that you will revive us again.
Yes.
We may rejoice in that.
Yes, sir.
Well, I need everybody to rejoice.
Thank
Well, I'm convinced, and people say, man, you're reading the scriptures and you start looking at some things, and I said, wait a minute, now, Lord, I know when I read 1 John chapter 1, I was appreciative and found out some things were very vital. Verse 3 of 1 John 1 says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And I said, Lord, I wonder where my fellowship is. I wonder if it's with the Father and with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because I'm convinced if my relationship is right, my joy will be full. No doubt about it.
I started examining myself. I said, Lord, I'm looking at this. I said, Lord, I wonder, Lord, you provide me. What kind of relationship do I have with you? Lord, why am I not rejoicing in thee?
Right. Amen.
Lord, I don't know how Paul can write from the Philippian jail at Rome to the church at Philippi while he's locked up in Rome a letter talking about rejoicing in the Lord. Again, I
say, I'm like, Paul, what you talking about? Well, the Roman jail don't determine my joy.
Amen.
My joy is in the Lord Jesus.
Yes, sir.
And I tell you, we allow situations to determine what we should do and how we should do this and how we should do that. And I'm not convinced, Lord. I just know the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and calm.
Yes, sir. Sure.
So I know joy is present is the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in my life.
Amen.
I just know that's a reality. I'm like the psalmist. I was glad when they said unto us, you weren't glad to go into the house of the Lord.
Yeah.
The psalmist, David was glad. But they were sure I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Hey, Dave, what you mean? I love the house of God.
Yeah.
And I get help in the sanctuary.
Right.
Yeah. So if you go to church, you'll get some help. I present the preached word will give you help you in any situation.
Yeah.
You just need the preached word.
Yes,
I realize, Lord, what a blessing it is to come and assemble and get some help from God. Lord, I realize, Lord, I might even be able to grow some other folks
to love and good work about coming to church. I said, well, come around, see me in church, and they can't even help me. I wasn't going to try to provoke them, and I needed them to provoke me, but I don't see them nowhere, so I can't even do what I'm supposed to do. And they can't do what they're supposed to do. But they chose not to be here. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of people make that, but they do it by choice.
Right.
Every little thing comes up. You know how family is, so everything the family want to do has something to do with church things. I'm praying all the things they do. And you know what? I'm like, you must don't really want me to be involved, so I'm going to practice biblical separation. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Separate myself.
There you go.
It's about, man. Yeah, I don't know what your ankles did in the first place.
Right.
You need to learn biblical separation. I don't know what biblical separation is. Some things you need to separate ourselves.
Yeah.
I'm convinced those things will steal your joy.
Yeah.
I wish I had you win. No, you're correct. You sure should have win. Now you're worse off than you were trying to figure out how you're going to get out of this mission.
Right.
Learn the reality of what God requires of us. The Lord, I want to be joyful. I want to be like Paul in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. For none of these things move me, neither count my life dear unto myself, that I may finish my course with joy. Lord, I want to finish my course with joy in the ministry which thou hast received the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Lord, I want to finish this course with joy. I want to be able to do what you called me to do. So I know, Lord, as I look at these things, I realize the freshness of life, the fullness of joy. And I read a little more, and I said, Lord, I'm convinced, Lord, that not only the heaven's arrival, I believe you'll have some freedom from bondage.
Right.
I'm just convinced that, Lord, most people don't know they're bound.
Yeah,
they need to be loose.
That's the truth.
The reality
right.
There is, I need some freedom from bondage, Lord. I didn't know I was bound to the credit or bound to this thing over here. Only thing got me bound, Lord. I don't have freedom to do what you want me to do, Lord. I thought you gave me liberty to serve you.
Amen.
I went to Ezra chapter 9. I said, Lord, I need some freedom from bondage. And these folks were going through it, and it's amazing how God can help folks out if they will allow Him
right.
To help them out. Ezra chapter 9. Having gone through much, these folks have already sought the land with God. Verse 8. And now for a little space, grace has been shewed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and give us a nail in the holy place that our God may light our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. I said, Lord, I said,
I can be the little revival.
while.
Yes.
Slow it down.
A little bit.
Right.
But I'm thankful for that space of grace. You gave him a space of grace.
Four grace is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
We sing amazing grace. You better believe that grace is amazing. That same grace that brings salvation that appears to all men.
Right.
Will teach me how to live in this present world.
Yeah.
Will teach me some things. It'll separate. It'll sanctify. It'll give me the ability to live righteous in God.
Yeah.
In this present world.
Yeah.
What a blessing it is. The Lord, all they are pleading for now is a little reviving in their bondage. Lord, I said, Lord, if ever there's a revival, Lord, I'm convinced that, Lord, you'll free me from bondage.
Right.
With the enemy binding us, Lord.
Yeah.
I said, Lord, I found my flesh on the rule. The world trying to tell me what to do. And here comes Satan on my back all the time.
Yeah,
I said, Lord, will you help me? I need some freedom, Lord. I want to crucify this flesh, Lord. Teach me not to love the world into the things that are in the world, Lord. Why am I so attached? I made a statement one time. I said, if God's going to have to plow some of us away from the earth, we're so attached to it.
You're right.
Amen.
Great.
I help the Lord, please. Can I help the Lord on just a little moment? Break his fingers. Let go of the earth.
Yeah.
It's passing away. Leave it alone. Don't get too attached to something that is passing away.
Right.
But it's amazing how attached we get to things. And Lord, we just need you to free us from this bondage. This stuff is just pounding us, Lord. And we say we blame our creditors. Don't blame your creditors. It ain't your creditors' fault. And you don't blame them, that's your neighbor, that's your neighbor's fault. It ain't your co-worker's fault, it ain't your boss's fault. It ain't your preacher's fault, it ain't your wife or your husband or children's fault. Lord, I'm the one that's in bondage. I need revival. Lord, I need you to free me from this bondage that I'm in. Romans chapter 6. Lord, I fall when you save me, then I was no longer bound to the other servant. I became a bond servant to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, people want to make God. When I'm in the prisons, I told folks, I said, some of y'all believe all religions lead to Christ. I said, who told y'all that lie? And they looked at me. I said, all religions don't have Christ in it, so I know the other religions don't lead to Christ at all.
Yeah.
I said, it's amazing the things we believe. I said, the Pharisees were religious. They didn't lead to Christ. They're religious folks. They were. Man, they knew the law. They knew all that stuff. I said, don't believe that, lad. And they don't. They used to try to challenge me, because I said, I give them an opportunity to challenge me. I said, you know what? You're in bondage.
Right.
You been bound. I said, you're not only in bondage in this prison. You're bound. You don't even know you're still bound.
Yeah.
You're still locked in your sin.
Right.
See, after Romans chapter 6 teaches me some vital lessons. I want to know what's going on and how can I be made free. Verse 16 says, know ye not that whom ye yield yourself serve and obey, his servant you are whom ye obey, whether sin and the death or obedience and the righteousness. I said, so Lord, I'm obeying something. I know. I mean, the doing what God told me to do. I'm not. Verse 17, but God being thankful. And I said, you know what? The first time I read this, I'm going to thank God. You know what? I'm thanking God for freeing me.
Yeah,
right. God be thanked that you were serving the sin. I thank God that, Lord, I was lost.
Yes.
Folks don't even know they're lost. I'm like, Lord, you ain't gonna get no help. I said, Lord, I'm thankful that I was serving the sin.
Yes.
But you came back.
Yes.
You came by my way. I was serving the sin.
Yes.
Lord, I'm thankful that. Thank God be thanked that you were serving the sin. But you have obeyed from the heart, the form of doctrine. This is delivering you. I said, Lord, I'm so thankful that I obeyed God.
Right.
Lord, you enabled me, you gave me grace. You enabled me to obey God. Verse 18, being made free from sin. Now, people who are still living in their sin became servants of righteousness. I said, you know what? You're either serving sin or you're serving righteousness.
That's right.
And I understand about falling into sin. I understand that saints can sin. That ain't what we're talking about. We're talking about these folks perpetual sinners. They just sin.
Right.
I'm like, great, delivered. Oh, I asked Jesus to save me. I said, what did he save you from? I don't know what he saved. I thought the Bible said he saved
me
from sin. From, not in.
Right, that's
not free. So you saved me from sin. Why am I still doing well? You know, everybody got these habits. Now we talk about sin. I'm talking about habit stuff now.
Right.
So what God called it, because I need some help. I need to realize what God saved me from. Man, I know that I obeyed the gospel. Lord, I thought it changed my life, and God made me new. You say you believe that? Well, let me tell you, I used to. Back in when I got to say day one, I used to listen to where I went to on the radio, kind of down there still.
Right.
And I was like, Lord, I'm there.
Yeah.
So I bought some brand new cassettes, and I was taking some news off the radio.
music I like to listen to.
Right.
First thing he said, snap the ball. Said, I had three of them, put another new one in. It's mad. I'm like, you know what I did? I stopped listening to that music. You know what I believe? I said, you know what? I said, I didn't even need a preacher to tell me I ain't got no business listening to this no more. I believe God, man, he said, you know, I would have took my fault if he said back to the store. I said, I know that's probably what you would did. I was contented with God Almighty because he saw it. And I believe God has sent me a message and said, you ain't got no business listening to this in the first place.
Right, right.
I've been saved from sin, folks.
Yes.
From sin.
Amen.
Not in sin. Well, I'm too busy to do what I want to do. I got to listen to what you want me to listen to now, don't I? I got to dress the way you want me to dress. You get to tell me, I'm like, oh, wait. Tell me what to do, because I'm Lord. You ain't made me Lord. I've been Lord all the time.
That's right.
You ain't made me nothing. You submit to me as Lord. You don't make me nothing. There'll be other people who want to say, well, I made you. You ain't made him nothing. You submit to him as Lord. He's been Lord all the time.
Amen.
Oh,
yes, sir.
I made you. You ain't made Jesus nothing. You ain't made Jesus made me.
Right.
I ain't made him nothing. He made
right.
me. So I convinced my change to conclude the Lord. I'm thankful. Romans 6 verse 22 said, "But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have fruit unto holiness and end everlasting life." I said, I don't even know what fruit unto holiness is. That's how I said, born again, but let's know what fruit unto holiness is.
Yeah.
We're fruit bearers now.
Oh, yeah.
It's not corruptible fruit, though.
Right.
That's the problem when we face. That folks are still doing corruptible things. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm holy, Lord. I know ultimately I'm going to put on incorruption, Lord. I know that's going to happen. Lord, while I'm down here, I'm supposed to be holy. Because thou art holy. In all manner of conversation, Lord. I said, I want to know, Lord, that you free me from the bondage of sin. Or the sin still ruling and reigning in my life. So, Lord, I know that you want to grant revival. And one of the evidences, Lord, when I'm not in bondage anymore, you know, and back in the Ezra day, those folks have done a whole lot of stuff they had no business on, got themselves in a whole lot of trouble.
Right.
And we, one of the things that happens so often, we have fear, so fear will rule. Your fear will bind you. Family and friends will keep you in bondage. It's just amazing how it feeds everybody except God.
Amen.
I'm like, Lord, I don't need to be bound. Lord, my flesh keeps me in bondage. I need to crucify this no good flesh. I need to learn how to submit to God so the flesh don't rule readily. Well, one other thing that I think will be a benefit that you'll know that you are revived, or it's an evidence of revival, is that you will have what I call fortitude in your labors. You say, you mean to tell me that I will have the ability? Well, that word fortitude means strength or firmness of mind. It enables a person to encounter danger with coolness and courage. You have fortitude in your labors. See, I have enough courage when I'm laboring for the Lord, no matter what's going on, I have fortitude, I have courage, I have strength from God to do what God
wants
to do. People say, well, you believe the reality? Well, Nehemiah, I told them, I got Bible here, but Nehemiah happened to be one of the folks that was busy doing what God has called him to do. It's amazing what God can do to an individual that's willing to do it his way.
Right.
Nehemiah chapter 4. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 4, and we realize that anything you're going to do for the Lord is going to take courage. You're going to have some fortitude. You're going to have God's strength because you're going to encounter danger. You're going to have some adversity.
Amen.
You're going to have people complaining against what you're doing. You're going to find out verse 1 of Nehemiah 4 there. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we built the wall, he was wrong and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. See, anything that you do for God, you're going to have somebody to fall to it.
That's
just reality.
Right.
Verse 2 says, and he spake before his brethren, and the army of Samaria said, what do these people do? What do these people do? What do these people do? Will they fortify themselves? Well, will they strengthen themselves? Do they have to build a thing? Well, I believe that God gives you fortitude in your labor.
Amen.
See, he's trying to figure out, do they think they'll have enough strength or courage to rebuild or do what they want? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in the day? Will they revive the stones out of the heat of the rubble, which is our most firm? That's how the enemy is. They want to know if you have enough courage and strength to continue to do what God called you to do. Well, you better get the job done. That's what the enemy said. Let me throw some stones. Let me get some stones. Let me put some things in the way. Let's see if you're going to continue on.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, Pastor Duncan, over the years, I've had a lot of stones thrown. A lot of things said and done to try to stop the work. Isn't that amazing? That's how the enemy is.
Yes,
sir.
Some long thick things. Sure. They can be within and without. Some of it is on the inside, some of it is on the outside. But nevertheless, it's real. But you know what God does? He gives us fortitude in our life.
Yes, He does.
He gives us strength to go on. Very helps us along. It's amazing, Lord, that you furnish us with enough strength to stay faithful. You give us enough courage to fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
I'm so thankful, Lord, and everything we're alive for is fortitude in our labors. And Lord, what a blessing it is that God would give me the ability to, even if I'm weary and well doing, I don't have to faint. That God will bring the path for me to be passed, to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in work. So I believe the Lord, my labor is more rewarded if I stay faithful to what you call me to do. But I believe revival is such a necessity today, and Lord, we get discouraged, we get tired, we get worn out. But Lord, I believe you give enough courage, you give us enough strength to continue to do what God's called us to do. Lord, even if I get attacked by the enemy, you will help me along the way. Because you're a God who revives us. Your God who gives us strength. It's the same. You say, well, how do you revive him? He just gave me enough nerves to continue on. After he wrought a great victory, you killed 1,000 men. You've already did that. I've worked up all my energy. Lord, I just don't have any energy left. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. Lord, I don't think like I used to think. Lord, I'm weary and worn. Lord, I got in my prayer closet. And I said, Lord, I need help. Lord, I know you know I need help. Lord, I'm just pleading with you that you give me the help that I need and you give me the ability to respond properly to what you're doing in my life. Lord, I don't have any idea sometimes what's going on. But I'm thankful that you do. And you give me enough grace to sustain me and strengthen me to go on. But Lord, some of the battles I face, Lord, I don't want to deal with issues. Today, I don't want to deal with this. And then the people bring me all these problems and that's weighing on me. Lord, I just want to be able to bear these burdens that you want me to bear. I want you to give me the strength to be able to do what I need to do. Because revival is so needful for the saints of God. And that's day by day, Lord. I just need you giving me the ability to go on and do what you want me to do. But God is faithful, Lord. And I know He is. And I look at the scriptures and I start realizing some things. I said, Lord, help me to remain faithful. I tell Brother Griffin all the time, I said, my responsibility is to do what God has called me to do. And even if nobody else does, that's my responsibility. What God told me to do, I remain faithful to what God told me. I say, if you'll find a body functions well, if everybody do what God told them to do, that's how body functions. Everybody has a responsibility. If everybody's doing what God told them to do, amazing what the body can do. I don't complain if my left hand can't function and my right hand can do more. My body don't even complain about that. But see, all the way God puts the body together and sits it in the place we want to, everybody has a responsibility.
Right.
And in order for God to help us along in Ezra's day and Nehemiah's day, they knew one thing, Ezra, they had to all come together, they had to labor together, they need to trust God, and God strengthened them in the midst of the battle. Lord, I need revival. Lord, I know that, Lord, I need a freshness today. I need your freshness upon me today, Lord, not yesterday. I need it today, Lord, I'm going to need it tomorrow. Lord, I need a fullness of joy, Lord. Somebody came home and discouraged me, and Lord, I was happy earlier, now I'm not happy anymore. It's amazing, you start reading the scripture, you start finding out how easy it is that your disposition will change, Lord. I found the Lord, they put me in bondage, Lord. In my heart, Lord, I have bitterness, and I have anger, and unforgiveness, and Lord, that's bondage, that's all it is bondage. So Lord, you need to free me from those things, because I know I'm supposed to put off some stuff and put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the only person that can free me from this bondage that I'm in is the Lord Jesus Christ. And people fool themselves. Well, I ain't like everybody else. I'm not harping anything in my heart. I'm like, Lord, what's the difference between me and someone else? I'm convinced that King Saul harbored some things in his heart toward David, and David didn't harbor anything to his heart toward King Saul.
All right. Amen.
David was a man after God's own heart. It's amazing when you look at the different characteristics of the people in the Bible and how God works in one person's life and another one, because they deal with it from the wrong perspective. Because they were not in a competition. It didn't make any difference. I mean, I wish I had someone like David in my arm. You can kill 20,000, 50,000, David. I don't kill none. I'm glad to have you in my army, David. Wow. The reality is, Lord, you enable folks to do something. I don't have to be like David. I don't have to be like Samson. My name is Mark Fanner Jr. As a child of the King, all I need to do is be responsive.
Yes.
To my
yes.
Lord and Savior and complete this race with joy.
Amen.
And be faithful to God's promise. Be faithful to me. Start worrying about all those other issues that I face. No issues are real. They ain't going nowhere no time soon.
Man.
I may die having to deal with some issues in my life, but nevertheless, it will not touch my God. All my God is doing. He is still good. His benefits are still real. And if God don't do nothing else, I'm seated in the heavens.
Amen.
I can rejoice because I'm blessed because I'm seated in the heavens. Stop equating blessings with things. Start equating blessings with God.
Amen.
It's all centered in Him. And that's why the saints of old, I made a statement as I closed. I said to the church, I said, can you show me in the Bible any rich prophets, apostles, any preachers that were rich? I said, I might be able to show you some that has a lot of material gain before they got saved. You know what happened after they got saved? I'm talking about every preacher I've seen in the Bible. You know what happened after they got saved? Hey, Elijah, I don't know what you had, but man, I like to have a raise and feed him out, boy.
Amen.
You're being a widow. I don't think why you're going to do it that way. Hey, Apostle Paul, how much money did you have after God said, I don't know what you had, Paul, but I don't know if you got saved. It depends. We told him the Lord Jesus Christ. You was up and down. You were vague in the Bible.
Right.
Full and hungry sometimes. Like, not Paul. Not the great Apostle Paul. Hey, John, Island of Patmos. How did you survive on the Island of Patmos? Must have been God.
Amen.
So how many rich preachers? That's why I say I don't preach prosperity in religion. I preach prosperity in Christ.
Right.
Christ and Christ alone.
Amen.
The prosperity stuff has made our people, it's weakened our people believing that God has to. He ain't got to do no more. He don't have to answer to no man. In the book of Job, I answer to no man. I don't have to answer nobody. I'm God. I do whatever I want.
That's right.
So if I don't have all the things that I want, don't make no difference, Lord. You're still on the throne, still doing what you do better. I'm like, Lord, raise up some godly men and the Lord will go do the things. They ain't worried about whether they're going to be taken care of, because Lord, you call them and they already know they can take care of. Raise up some people in our churches and our homes that are willing to do whatever you tell them, Lord, at any cost, they're willing to pay that cost. But bottom line, folks, I can still be in Chicago working in accounting. Easy. I can still be working in National City Bank in Cleveland. Easy. There's a whole lot of things I could easily be doing, but the bottom line, for some reason, God won't let me easily do those things that I want to do. Because He called me out of darkness into His marvelous light to show forth His praise.
Yeah.
It's my responsibility to do it His way. And it ain't about dollar bills. It's about having a relationship where God works in our lives. Because we have a lot of, and in my culture, among my people, lazy, good for nothing, things like all stuff. I said, you know what? You ain't gonna never get the help from God you need to realize that
amen.
I am obligated to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the only one who can help me. And all said and done, I don't need welfare. I don't need social programs.
Yeah.
I don't need some psychiatrist trying to tell me. I got a Bible that gives me direction. It's still a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And if I got mental problems, the only person I know can really resolve mental problems is God Almighty. I got financial problems, but I know we can solve those problems. So maybe I got some man warfare. God will teach me how to work. Everything that I need, I can read my mom like, oh, I got to go to work? Yep, teach yourself how to get your job.
Amen.
All people need to know that. Every culture needs to know that God honors His word. And He honors those who honor His word. That's what it is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We miss all that we're doing.